Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the NAFcast, which amazingly has actually come out a week after the previous one, where I decided that I was going to do them and try and do them on a weekly basis and see how that went. And what a week it has been in the Blood Bowl world. We have had a load more stuff about Blood Bowl 2 come out, which the NAF has responded to. We've had league director stuff going on within the NAF committee. And I've managed to find the time for a chat with Thadrin, who's one of the moderators on TFF and has been around the Blood Bowl scene for quite a while. So we have got a good chat about the future of TFF and the past and its state at the moment and the various different drivers as to what affects how busy it is and how much stuff is going on there. So we'll finish with that. But before then, I'm going to deal in depth with the response that the NAF gave to the rule changes that became apparent with the second, or well, a preview trailer, I can't remember how many there have been, but a preview trailer for Blood Bowl 2. So I think I'll start, because it's a good place to start, with the actual statement that the NAF put out. From Cyanide pre-release publicity for Blood Bowl 2, it is apparent that they are making some rule changes to the game. So far, we are aware of a new race, Bretonians, and at least one positional change, which is human catchers becoming AV8. The rules for NAF sanctioning of a tournament remain the same. It is assumed that the competition rules pack plus the three new races will be used. Any deviation from this basic standard needs to be stated in the rules pack that is submitted to the tournament director before the tournament is sanctioned. If the changes to the basic standard are deemed to take the tournament too far away from CRP, then the tournament will not be sanctioned. Tournaments may be sanctioned if the rules pack includes a new race, Khorne, Bretonians, Apes, or any changes to the roster, including new star players, but this is at the tournament director's discretion. Matches against non-official races are not currently included in the database, so do not count for rankings. The rankings will be ported to the new website, which is currently in development, and at this point, a decision will be made about the inclusion of any new races. That's the statement that was put together by the NAF committee, and there are a few bits in there which are worth unpicking and which some people have got confused by. So to just take it through, the NAF are not in any particular strong position in terms of knowing about rule changes, so we are working on the trailers that have been released. So the latest trailer had a picture of a human catcher who was AV8, and it was shown that he was a level 0 catcher, or level 1, whatever it is, the lowest level of catcher, and so those were the starting stats. In a previous trailer there had been Bretonians, and it is sort of strongly hinted at that these are the Bretonians from Plasmoid's set of rules, which are variously called CRP Plus and narrowing the tiers Blood Bowl. And the Bretonians are included in those. And there's full details of all of his rules on his site. If you search for Plasmoid Blood Bowl, that'll be the first thing that comes up. So when the statement talks about the competition rules pack plus the three new races referred to there are Slan and Underworld and Chaos Pact, because those are the teams that are commonly used in NAF tournaments, but are not in CRP. So you've got your basic 24 there. But there have been tournaments played with additional races. So the Apes have been included in some tournaments in America. From discussions with the tournament director, Khorne have been used in around 10 tournaments in the last year, mostly in Spain and Italy. And so they are already part of the tournament circuit. There haven't been any in the UK yet or in the US. The US has seen one with Druids, one or two with Apes, but the Khorne has been on continental Europe. And so if you wanted to include the Bretonians in your tournament, then you could do so. You've got the freedom to do that, but that would have to be stated in the rules pack. People would have the freedom to refuse to play against them, I think, is what Nate was saying. And also, matches against them wouldn't be included in the database. So in the same way as when you play against a non-NAF member, that match isn't included in the database. If you play against a non-NAF team, that's not included in the database either. Now, this refers to the new website that's coming out. There's a certain timescale involved in that the new tournament scoring software is due to be made available in the next few weeks, and then that will link in to the new website. Now, I said in the last one that the new tournament software was going to be web-based, and thanks to those people who listened and asked the question. When I say web-based, what I meant was compatible with the website, and as far as I know, it's going to be able to be used online, but it'll certainly be able to be used offline as well. There were various people concerned that because their tournaments are held in a place with no wireless or limited mobile network access, it couldn't be used. But hopefully I can put people's minds to rest that it will definitely be able to be used in those situations as well. So it can be used offline and online. So that's very much the first order of things to get sorted. So there is one company working on the new software and on the new website, and they're working on the new scoring software first because that needs to be in place and working for the World Cup. And then they are going to be working on the website sort of at the same time, but not with as much urgency as getting the tournament scoring software going. So we imagine that sometime this year there will be firm news on the website and about its functionality and so on. So in terms of the rule changes, they are not being implemented into NAF tournaments. And this is to avoid having lots of different... The development of the new website is being headed up by Lycos, who's the operations director, and VMCAT, who is the website, the webmaster, and Beppe is involved in the tournament software as well. It's being developed by an Italian company, and VMCAT speaks Italian, and obviously Beppe is Italian, so that should all work smoothly. And we're going to be having a chat to Beppe in the next few weeks in a future NAFcast, so if you do have any questions for him, then please do get in touch via the normal channels. The other excitement this week was about the league director election. So at the committee meeting last Sunday, there was the decision taken to make to put it to the membership about the league director being an elected position. The idea of an elected position over an appointed position is it gives voting rights on the NAF committee. So the NAF committee is made up of those elected officials who are able to take votes on things. That's the president, treasurer, tournament director. And that now is extended to the league director as well. And the difference between that and appointed positions, such as the webmaster, media officer, and operations director, and so on, is that it's obviously voting rights. And so that's the difference into making an elected position. And it just gives it that extra bit of gravitas that we're saying that the NAF wants to take more of an interest in leagues. And so there has been a league director before, which was General Jason, but he decided to step down due to time constraints. So for the last week, we have had a vote going on to change the NAF charter so that the league director exists as an appointed position. This was put out as a poll vote on the forum, as opposed to the more recent voting technical voting software that's available on the NAF site. And with hindsight, it's probably one of those things that would have been better done using the actual voting software, because there were a few people who sort of voted against the proposed change, and the reasons given for those were quite interesting, in that some people felt that leagues were quite happy to go along by themselves, it didn't need NAF involvement in leagues. Some people thought it didn't need an elected position, and so on. On the NAF committee, we all basically thought it was a good idea, and didn't consider that there would be a certain amount, there were arguments against it, really. So It might be that for future changes to any to the NAF Charter, not that I can particularly see any coming along in the near future, but that a secret vote would be required for that. There will be a secret vote and a sort of non-changeable vote. A changeable vote, because that was the other problem. You couldn't change your vote once you'd voted, I don't think, and you could see how everyone had voted. The vote was carried sort of 55 to 12, so there wasn't a huge number of votes cast, as there often aren't in NAF elections, but hopefully that will change. And we're trying our best to communicate with the membership, make people aware of elections, and make them think that there is a reason for voting, which I think there is. So where we are now is that you are now able to put your name forward as standing for the league director. Actually, you need to be nominated. You can't put your name forward. You have to be nominated by someone, but you can always ask someone to nominate you and get seconded, and then you can stand for league director. And you've got a little bit of a blank slate, really. There is will be a certain amount of money available if there are particular projects that need happening. If you include those in your manifesto, then there's no reason that those can't go ahead. The league director will probably get involved in things like OBBLM, the Online Blood Bowl League Manager. The NAF does have its own OBBLM, which we've got up to about 10 leagues now, I think, who are using it. I manage that at the moment, but would be very happy for any potential league director to get involved in that and take that forward in their own fashion. You might be interested in the development of the new website and might get involved with that, because bringing sort of people together is a big part of what the NAF could be involved in, and historically hasn't done as much of it as it could, I think. So there's all sorts of ideas that you might want to take forward, and very happy to talk about those to anyone who wants to, really. And I'm sure that lots of committee will be happy to talk to any potential league director. So stick your name in the ring, or get someone to stick your name in the ring, and see what happens. So we'll have a week of nominations. So you've got until Sunday to get nominated and seconded. And then we'll have a week of Q&A, questions and answers, on the NAF forum. And then the voting will take place over a week. And the Q&A will continue at the same time. So you'll have 2 weeks in total Q&A, and the second week of that, the voting will be happening at the same time. So hopefully we'll have a good contest with a few candidates, and then can take forward league support from the NAF. So hopefully that has put a bit of meat on the bones for the response to the Blood Bowl 2 rules, and a little bit of information about the league director, a bit more about what was going on with that one. I'll now leave you with the interview, the chat that I had with Thadrin, and hopefully we'll be back next week. Okay, cheers, bye. Okay, cool. Well, let's make a start then, shall we? I can edit it all later together anyway. It'll all be fine.
You're a trooper, Mike. You really are. I don't know where you find the energy for it all.
Neither do I. I sign myself up for things and then don't stop doing them, and then more things happen and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah, my latest is the OBBLM. The NAF seems to be having
OBBLM,
quite a few.
OBBLM, that's gone by me.
The Online Blood Bowl League Manager.
Oh, okay. I'm used to be called... No, not Stars. Quilt?
Oh, right. Yeah, that's the NAF version that is still...
Oh, there's another one. Okay. That's gone completely by me.
What, has OBBLM?
Yes.
Gosh. It's the big league software, really. Everyone uses it pretty much, as far as I can tell.
Because I haven't been in a league for ages, though.
So. Yeah. Well, when you join a league... most of them will be using it, I would have thought.
I'm a league killer. I join leagues and they vanish.
All right, okay. Good skill.
Not really.
No, maybe not. So let's talk about TFF a bit, maybe, and then talk about Blood Bowl 2, which is one of the hot topics.
Yes. Just on Facebook today has been interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to try and summarise what's going on. at some point.
How far do you go back with that?
Well, they seem to go back quite a long way in their in their interview, didn't they? They went back to the Chaos League.
Yeah. There's something called Mutant League Football as well. I don't know if that's related to it, but...
Yeah, but that came out after the Blood Bowl PC game as well, didn't it? Did you ever play that one? The one...
Well, that's before my time.
From the 80s. It was quite...
Yeah, fun. I was around in the 80s, then I went to university and...
Yeah. Well, no, it must have been the mid-90s, actually, because the Blood Bowl itself didn't come along until the 80s. So it must have been
Blood Bowl second was 88, I think.
And the Blood Bowl, the original Blood Bowl PC game was probably around 95, I would guess, because it used block dice and stuff. So, it was good.
Those came along third edition, which was 92-ish?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, later than that. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're a moderator on Talk Fantasy Football.
Yes.
How long have you been doing that for?
Longer than I care to remember.
All right. And how did you get involved?
Way back in the day, back when it was still a tiny little place called Talk Blood Bowl.
Yep.
Basically, the owner at the time, a guy called Johnny P.
Yeah.
Said, I need some help running this site. It's getting too big a job. And there were a group of us, including the very first NEF president and several other luminaries, who just said, okay, we will help you. And it went from there.
All right, okay. And you've been doing it since, presumably?
Yes. Somehow, at some point, I became an admin, and I don't remember when.
All right. Fair enough.
It's been a long, long time.
So what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Very, very little.
Right.
TFF has always been a very
Let's go TFF
because that's what it is now and has been for I lost track of time.
Yeah. 2012.
It's a very forgiving place.
Right.
I've seen lots and lots of people complain about, oh yes, this terrible place and all moderation and this, that, and the other. And TFF is very forgiving. Generally, people are sensible and polite. There's very few trolls and the worst we've ever had is basically people who see ever since the change of the name to Talk Fantasy Football, every August, September, we get someone turn up wondering exactly whether they should draft a wide receiver or a running back into their NFL team. And that's why we've got the little notice at the top of the site saying this is not an NFL fantasy football site.
Yeah. So do you get involved in many of the posts then, or was it just mostly the
not as much as I used to?
Right.
Nowhere near as much as I used to. My Blood Bowl has been taking a back seat to other things of late. So, and in all honesty, the discussions, ever since the days of the BBRC came to an end, I don't think we've had less to talk about.
Yeah.
I felt that there's quite a lot of the same discussions coming up, the same things you're going to get all the time from new guys coming in, which is amazing in of itself that there are new guys coming into the game.
Yeah.
But you get them coming in asking the same fairly straightforward questions as the same companies asking about their new ranges or advertising their new ranges.
Yeah.
You do see certain parts of the forum getting far more posts than other parts.
Oh, right.
Obviously, the tournament posting sections...
That keeps ticking over, doesn't it? Yeah.
That keeps ticking over, especially the British ones.
Yeah.
But, like I said, people post it. I honestly can't remember having to deal with too many trolls. I think in the entire history of the site, and we're going back well over a decade now, we've only had to permaban two or three people.
Yeah.
And I don't think you'll find a forum that's been that well-behaved anywhere else online. Nice. And that, well, at least one of those was a guy who insisted on everything being political.
Right. Okay.
And we told him, no, stop. Even the people who break the rules get at least three warnings and say, look, please stop. We don't want to ban you, please. Just no. And there's one, any old timers who remember a guy who went by the name of Dark Lord or Pariah.
Okay.
There was a character. You'll have maybe encountered him through the Impact Forum.
Right.
At some stage. He doesn't post there now, but he was around in the early days of Elf Ball and all of that. And that was an interesting guy. His involvement goes back to even before Talk Fantasy Football, before Talk Blood Bowl. way back when we had a site called Blood Bowl Central.
Yeah.
Which you may even predate you, Mike.
Yeah, I think it does.
Oh, that was 98, 99-ish.
Yeah.
That there was the two big forums, Talk Blood Bowl and Blood Bowl Central.
Yeah. Back then.
Blood Bowl Central gradually died off, and the guy who ran it is now running a War Machine podcast, actually. So,
yeah, right.
Nice guy. I ran into him at Gen Con a few years ago.
Yeah. So there's obviously... Do you think there's more forums, more Blood Bowl forums than there used to be? Because there are sort of four or five reasonably big ones.
The ones I always think of, if anything, the problem is they've become more focused.
Right. Yeah, pun intended.
Way back in the day, we had people from all over the world coming to TBB, now TFF.
Yeah.
And it was a truly international group.
Right.
These days, and then... the international forums, the first one I can think of was the Spanish language forum.
Yeah.
Blood Bowl Foro, I think it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
Turned up, and all the Spanish players went over there because, God bless them, the Spanish don't speak great English. All of the Spanish players I've met have been absolute superstars. They're lovely guys, but they're far more comfortable speaking Spanish than they are English, understandably not enough. And my Spanish amounts to basically being able to order a beer, I think. But, and I think there's French forums as well, but, you know, all these places I may have visited once or twice that you have to use Google Translate to get into.
Yeah.
But that's their community, and TFF became an English-speaking forum, and even then, the Slurpee Bowl was the big place for the American community.
Yeah.
So I do think TFF has become, unfortunately, very British-centric.
Okay.
Even the Australians have their own area. Ausbowl or...
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, Ausbowl is the Australasian one.
Yeah, and then there's another one, wargamer.au. I don't know if they have lots there, but no, that's their community, and it's not one I've needed to deal with. It's a shame that those guys don't... It's a shame we don't have one big international one. Even the NAF hasn't really developed in that direction.
No, well, the NAF forum is what it is. It's not... there's not.
It came along at the wrong time, unfortunately. If it had come along a few years earlier, if it had been able to take over, especially when we had the TBB to TFF transition...
Right, yeah.
...which was an unpleasant period of Blood Bowl's history, I have to think, remember. If we'd made more of that forum then, maybe we could have... transitioned into that, and TFF wouldn't be around anymore.
Right, yeah.
But
was consideration given to doing that at the time?
I honestly don't know. There was lots of... I do remember there was sort of hand-waving about... There were three or four places that were being candidates, and I do unfortunately think one person at least got rather the hump that his forum didn't become the place. But... people just sort of migrated back to what they knew.
Yeah.
And that turned out when TFF was resurrected by Double Skulls, formerly of the BBRC.
Yeah.
And basically the same crew just kept on the same old story with a new shopfront. People just stayed with what they knew in the end. If we'd had to have an alternative, maybe the NAF site could have been that. As it is, I think the NAF focusing on other stuff is a better idea anyway, so...
Yeah, rather than trying to reproduce a forum. It's interesting because there is a strong argument for having all the forums in one place. So there would be an argument for an Australian section of TFF and a...
The question then becomes, will the Australians stick to their section, the Spanish to their section, the French
to their
section?
Yeah, I think that even if that happens, you're still all in the same room and you might browse the other sections, whereas... Like I go to Ausbowl occasionally, but I don't spend as much time there as I would.
The Australians, of course, are always going to be a special case because they are ridiculously isolated. And I know there's a few come over. I had the pleasure of playing against one of them at the World Cup a few years ago.
Yeah,
smashed me. But that's what happens when you snow troll the size of all three skulls on the second turn.
As long as
Australians
have forgotten about it behind you.
When you roll triple skulls with a snow troll, you tend to remember it, especially at an event that size. But all the Australians are fantastic guys, but it's a different world. You don't get many people going down to Australia to play. They don't, because it costs a hell of a lot of money. So they don't come up here, and it's only natural that we don't know them, they don't know us. So it's a shame, but it's the way it is. Ever since travel, European travel, back in the day, back many years ago, when the whole tournament scene was getting started, people would travel to these handful of international tournaments. The Dutch Open was huge, the Lutyens Cup, all of these long-running tournaments. People would go to as many of them as they could because they were the only show in town. Now there's a tournament in most countries at least once a month. I mean, in Britain it's almost every week. I seem to see something. And so people don't travel internationally as much, and so I do think there's a lot more partitioning between the various communities. It's a shame, but it's a natural development of things, unfortunately.
Yeah, as the game gets bigger almost.
Oh, yes. And that's why the NAF World Cup and the Euro Bowl are such fantastic events. Because that's when you do mingle with people. That's when the different countries do mix. But
yeah, it's interesting. You actually see a variant of that in the UK as well, because there are so many more in the southwest now, so many more tournaments in the southwest.
You've got your own championship series, don't
you? Well, yeah, we have, yeah, but also, and then people don't need to travel up even to Manchester and places.
Well, you look at things like the Water Bowl, that's another one of those tournaments. It used to be 80-plus players. I don't know how many Alex gets these days, but it's not as many, I would wager. And you've got the sort of the... using the term, I play a lot of War Machine lately, so I always think of in terms of metagame. You've got the Scottish, Geordie, probably stretching down to Manchester and the Water Bowl guys there. You've got that group. There's the South West group. Yeah. I don't know what's going on in the Midlands. I'm sure there are several tournaments there as well, but...
Yeah, but it's not as strong a sort of circuit, really.
No,
and then you're getting more and more in the South East.
Another one.
Yeah, you're getting more and more in the South East now as well.
East area. You think of going back into the day, you had Pearly Kings and Queens and Cam Carnage, and these were big events where you get 50 or 60 players coming from all over Britain.
Yeah.
And it's... The game has grown, and it's become easier to find a close tournament, and in some ways it's become more insular. And that's a great shame, but it's only natural. It's both a good thing and a bad thing. I think people get closer, they see each other more often, but the international aspect has died a lot, and having been there in the early days of the tournament scene, I do think that's a terrific shame.
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of inevitable in a way. It's a thingy be its own success, isn't it? It's a victim of its own success.
Yeah. Everything evolves, nothing stays the same, and you just have to accept that things are going to change.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of change,
you'd think we planned that.
What's your take on the developments of the Blood Bowl 2, which has been all over TFF recently?
I am very, very wary. We don't have full details. We'd be fooling ourselves to think we did.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know. These are unknown people. Back when we've had the BBRC, going back even to the start, the whole point of the BBRC when they were first selected was it was guys who were vocal online and journalists. Yeah. It was the guys from the Blood Bowl mailing list. It was people who probably aren't even in the game anymore.
Yeah.
But they were all known on the mailing lists and the burgeoning online community. And they were chosen because they were the ones who knew what they were talking about. And then when the BBRC went through changes and new guys came in, guys like Tom Anders, Ian Williams and Paul Gegg, they were known players. These were guys who were well known to the community, had been seen around, or had been very, very vocal online. And so we knew who they were. With Cyanide, we don't have the same familiarity with the guys who are making the changes to the rules.
Yeah.
And it's... Because previously the CRP and the LRB were very much community projects headed up by this group of respected leaders, if you want. Everyone felt like they were a part of something. Everyone saw what was going on. There was a transparency to it all. And now we don't have that anymore. So I think a great deal of suspicion towards Cyanide is understandable. Especially seeing as I don't think their track record is great with the game.
So what do you think they could have done to change that? What could they have, if they'd said if they'd actually come out and said we are going to implement these changes? Do you think that would have been better, rather than...
I think it would have, rather than just... they haven't actually come out and said. There's the obvious one is the change to the human catcher.
Yeah.
Which is something people have actually been screaming for years.
Yeah.
The change to Armour 8. People have said, why aren't the human catchers Armour 8 for as long as I can remember? Probably almost going back to the early LRBs.
Yeah.
People have had the idea of making them Armour 8, and I'm absolutely fine with that one as it happens. But... it's the openness. They haven't come out and said, this is what we're planning on doing. They haven't tried as far as I don't visit the Cyanide forums, but I severely doubt they've posted anything there.
No.
They've kept it all very much in-house.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's behind closed doors, whereas previously it's always been open. Not to mention, we've gone through a period of absolutely unprecedented stability.
Yeah.
With the rule set, for the better or worse, we've all got our pet changes we'd like to make to the LRB 6 or CRP or whatever the heck you want to call it these days. But it's been stable since what? 2001? Something like that? I can't remember. I can remember the exact point it did change it, because there was a tournament where I accidentally took an LRB 6 team to an LRB 5 tournament. But
it wasn't. Did you say 2001? No, it wasn't then.
I can't remember.
2012. I think it was when LRB...
It must have been before then. I think LRB 6 rather than CRP.
Right.
LRB 5 to LRB 6, and I don't think CRP really had that many changes.
No.
LRB 6.
All right, okay.
Hold on a moment.
You should consult the nap.net.
I have a copy of the LRB 5, for some reason, set on my shelf up here, and it's dated 2008.
Yeah. And so
probably about 2009, 2010 for LRB 6, I guess. So either if we go by 2010 as an approximate date, then that's 5 years when the rules haven't changed at all.
Yeah. And do you think that's a good thing?
Yes and no. I don't want to go on bashing Grandma Wendy, but I think their handling of the game obviously leaves a lot to be required.
Yeah.
I think abandoning the game like they did, understandable from a financial point of view, but... Oh, God. Let's not go on to that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I think that LRB does need some small changes. It's very close to right.
Yeah.
And we probably do need some small tweaks. It's just, I think having that stability, even with the small flaws that are existing, it's been good. It's been good for the game. People know exactly what they're getting, and everybody is comfortable, even with the horrible broken clap-on nonsense that occasionally turns up.
And do you think the any small tweaks that might be implemented are worth the... lack of stability?
In the case of this, the Cyanide changes, it depends very much what those changes are. Actually, I've just managed to pull up my profile, and the LRB 5 to LRB 6 transit was 2009.
Right.
There need to be tweaks. The question is, are these the right tweaks? I've been pretty much clear that I didn't approve of the first big change they made, the Korn team. I didn't think that added anything to the game at all. If you want to play a team like that, then there's this nice team called the Norse.
Why do you think they did the Korn team?
I think they had some cool graphics they wanted to use.
Right. Either that or Grandma Wendy put some pressure on them. We want to quarantine in the game. The guy you'd have to ask about that, I think, would be Tom Anders, because as far as I've understood, he had a hand in... Well, he was the hand holding them back from the worst excesses, if I've understood things correctly.
Yeah.
The problem we have in the game now is they're adding things. It's not just changes, it's additions. I'm not against the small changes. The wholesale additions, like the Bretonian team, again, a subject that's been on chatted about online for... There's probably an old Bretonian team in one of these old Blood Bowl compendia somewhere.
Well, supposedly there was one in series, not series one, first edition. There was a knights and squires picture floating about.
That predates even me. I remember seeing paper miniatures. I've got a copy of the game actually, but I've never opened it. Bought on eBay out of sheer curiosity and as a collector's thing. But
I've got it in the attic as well.
It's one of those things we're such utter nerds that we'll find. Blood Bowl, you know? I've still got all the magazines. I've still got all the old compendia and all my old set. I've got more teams than I care to name or look at. I can actually see them across the room in my cabinet here. But adding new teams is a big breaker. That's not, making small tweaks is one thing.
Right.
Adding whole new swathes of rules like this. And not being open about how they're testing them, there's going to be an enormous amount of suspicion. It may turn out that they're perfectly well balanced.
Yeah.
But the two questions I have: are they balanced, and what do they add to the game?
Yeah.
And I need good answers for those before I can.
For the teams, are the teams balanced, or the rule changes?
About the teams.
Teams. Yeah.
The rule changes, we honestly don't know what they are.
No.
They could be anything. That's the thing. And frankly,
I think Korn has been proved to be balanced, hasn't it? Pretty much.
I honestly haven't seen enough of it to know.
Right, okay.
I need to play it a lot more. It looks fine.
Yeah, but on the cyanide, in terms of win ratios...
I haven't seen the stats, honestly. Yeah.
They'll come out as low tier 1, high tier 2.
If you want, I'd want them somewhere around where Nurgles, Rotters and Vampires are.
Yeah, they're probably above that, around the same level as Pact.
That's fine. I mean, what the tier 1.5, higher tier 2. I mean, Nurgle can absolutely crush you, but they'll get absolutely annihilated other times.
Yeah.
Sometimes a Korn team should go absolutely stark staring bonkers and just kill each other as much as they kill themselves. But
yeah.
The thing I objected to was we had a frenzy team in the game already. I'm very much a proponent of using what you've got. Just looking at, if I wanted to play a Bretonian team, I'd feel perfectly happy basically using the Orc roster right now.
Right.
Change the names. Okay, that's not a Black Orc, it's a Knight.
Yeah.
I can make up a perfectly good proxy team, say, I'm using these rules, these are my models, that. Go.
Yeah, and lots of people do that, don't they?
We've got so many miniatures ranges these days, and so many conversions, and this, that, and the other. Right? How many people generally run teams based on fancy battle regiments these days?
Yeah.
My entire underworld team is based off that. I've got a team of an underworld team that is made up of Impact's Dryad miniatures and some Mushroom Man models I found, hassle-free miniatures.
Yeah, and you don't need a new roster for that.
I don't need a new roster because it's my underworld team. I've got the Dryads are Skaven and the Mushroom Men are Goblins. It works. And so that's why I need the teams to add something new as a play experience to the game, not just a flavour thing. I understand why they want to do it. People have been screaming for Bretonian teams. I just want to know what it adds. And because Cyanide have a history of, how many releases is this now of the game? Is this the fifth release?
Something like that.
We had the original edition, we had the Dark Elf edition, the Legendary edition, the Chaos edition, so this must be the fifth edition now.
Yeah.
And they're asking full price again for another game, and the previous editions haven't been bug-free yet.
No.
The previous editions still have massive problems. Will this be the time...
Do you say massive problems? Because I've been playing Blood Bowl Chaos Edition, and I'm
still on Legendary Edition, I have to admit.
Right.
It boasts
of
all
compatible,
the...
aren't they, so...
So. It's been a long time. I've never played it online. If I want to play online, I play Fumble if I want to play online.
Okay.
It's a lie. I have used it online, and it was fine. I've had trouble with substitutions at times. I'll generally use it to play myself, as I've said on a Facebook debate this morning. It's what I use when I want to do something. I just want to kill stuff.
Yeah.
And I want to build that ridiculous team because the AI is so utterly hopeless. You can build the dream team. I've had teams over 300 team value. And you'll never get that in a tabletop league because you just don't have the time and because you can't trust the computer to lose enough. And I had one game when I managed 17 casualties.
Yeah.
When are you going to get that sort of... It's a different thing to use the game for, but that's what I've used it for. But in those experiences, in all the games I've played, I've had trouble with substitutions. I do think the dice rolling mechanic does seem to be dodgy.
Oh, really? I didn't think you would go for that.
I'm not convinced. I'd really need to sit and look at it, but it does... It does seem to re-roll into the same thing you had before rather a lot.
Right.
I do wonder how well re-rolls affect... The big thing's the AI, obviously. Can they finally get an AI to work? If you play mostly online, that's not a big thing for you. For me, that's the big thing. I'd like an AI that works, please. The thing that really annoys me, and it's extremely petty, is I know there's all these beautiful stadiums in the game.
Right.
Why do I play every single game in the Orc Stadium?
All right.
Maybe that's just me who gets that, but...
All right, okay.
Every single game I start up, stadium again? Oh, look, isn't that nice? Bizarre. I honestly don't know. No, not playing at all. So it doesn't matter what I play. What have I been playing lately? I was running a halfling team because halflings. Hail halfling.
Yeah.
I think I ran Nurgle for a while and realizing exactly how much I loathe them. They're just too slow and... I have my issues with the Cyanide game. I'm probably overdoing them. I'm probably doing them a great disservice, but they have in my book, they have everything to prove.
Right.
And they still have a lot of trust to earn.
Yeah, but from your point of view, you'd like a one-player game that was worthwhile.
I would like, because that's what I'm going to mostly use it for. I do think Fumble gives a better... tactical experience.
Yeah.
The old, you're going to dodge through three tackle zones on this run now, problem with Cyanide. You happen to click on that square. Okay, there's still the wrong clicks in Fumble as well, but it's not, you click on that square when you've got the move round three squares. No, I'm going to take you through the one square to go through that tackle zone that's got three tackle zones on it. Have you? The Cyanide game has its, and it's slow. It's so slow. They've added all these beautiful whistles and bells, which just slow the game down. As well, so Fumble is a better online experience. I want the one-player game. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, because I wonder if we don't hear as much from people who want the one-player game because they're not as naturally.
They're not as inclined to go online and
On forums. If you're on forums, then by nature you're interacting with other online players, and so you might as well play online against those people.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And Fumble obviously has built up an amazing community. That's another problem with the Cyanide. What does Cyanide offer that Fumble doesn't?
Yeah.
Pretty graphics.
Yeah.
And some people love that, and I've heard plenty of people say great things about the communities and the leagues built up on Cyanide. So.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing in that you can choose your league, can't you? Whereas Fumble,
yes.
you have to go by the administrators who are on there. Although you can find your own private league on Fumble as well, I guess.
I don't remember the last time I played a random game on Fumble. I played for several seasons in the Will and in the Water Bowl leagues, and I had great fun. And the Scottish League that you were also part of. And
yeah.
I've only met one or two players who weren't great guys.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. So, what do you think? Back to TFF for a bit, then. What do you think the future is for that? Do you think it's like in a good place? And do you think there's any other need for any? Because there was talk previously about possibly a British, dedicated British forum.
I don't think there needs to be a dedicated British forum because I do think TFF pretty much has that sewn up already. Otherwise, we would have seen maybe the ECBBL's forum. become that, and briefly I think it may have done.
All right.
Many moons ago. I don't even know if the ECBBL are still going, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that the problem we are facing at the moment as a community is that the game, even though stability of the rule set has been a good thing, and the rule set is pretty much, as we said, where we want it to be, having no developments and new miniatures coming out from companies left, right and centre, sure, but it feels like there's less to talk about than there was.
Right, yeah.
And
although the Blood Bowl community on Facebook is
Even there, as nice as I'm seeing lots of people posting up, this is my first team,
yeah, yeah,
and I'm back to the game, hello, and then I'm seeing quite a lot of the same sort of posts time and time again from new people, but there's not much variation in what I'm seeing there.
Yeah. And it's interesting, on the Facebook group, you can't link back to a previous conversation in the same way as you can with TFF. You can't say, look, this conversation was had a week ago.
This you probably can, but it's much trickier because, well, Facebook.
Yeah.
And that's a good community, and it's to your credit that it's become that. I do wonder if that's taking over. Social media has changed. I don't see much Blood Bowl chat on Twitter, apart from when there's a big tournament happening. But certainly in other gaming communities, in War Machine, above all else, Twitter has become an enormous gathering place.
Oh, right, okay.
If you go onto Twitter, there's always conversations about War Machine going on across the various worldwide communities.
Okay.
Strangely, even though maybe it's because War Machine is an actively supported game, there's an enormous international community for that. And I've been chatting to people in Australia, in Britain, in the States about War Machine on Twitter, of all places.
Yeah.
I think we suffer a great deal from stagnation. Because we've got the stable rule set, because the company who own the game, like it or not, don't care about us.
Yeah.
And haven't cared about us for at least 4 years now. Because that's when we stopped giving them money.
Yeah.
Because they stopped giving us things to give them money for. There's a lot less for us to talk about. And because the tournament scene, which used to be the beating heart of places like TFF, has become so localized, there's less need for it, unfortunately. And I fear it's become stagnant, and I don't know what we can do to change that.
So what did people used to talk about? They used to talk about rule changes.
It used to be, what did we want to change? There'd be an awful lot of tournament talk and stuff like that. There'd be the rules questions. But then, as now, the most popular sections are the general chat, the off-topic section, and the tournament sections. There'd be a few things about newly painted figures and stuff, but those were the sections that were active. And there'd be arguments about rules, because the rules were still in flux.
Yeah.
And they're not anymore. And so an enormous swathe. If you go to any games forum, I wouldn't mind betting that new rules and changes to current rules are the biggest topics. And questions about the rules. Most of that has been settled in Blood Bowl now.
Yeah. And so because of that, there's less
because
to talk
of that, the
about,
main
so
things to talk about, what we well, we can talk about the new miniatures coming from the latest bunch of guys in Spain who've managed to produce their own company. I don't know why they seem to mostly be Spanish.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me, but it seems 90% of the companies producing new miniatures are either Spanish or possibly Italian.
Yeah.
And the Spanish have always been absolutely mad for Blood Bowl. The first Blood Bowl tournament, I think there were about 20 Spaniards came over for that one. I think even the winner may have been a Spaniard, come to think of it.
Yeah.
They're all mad. Brilliantly mad. Gloriously mad.
It is
mad.
Playing Blood Bowl in the continent. It's very different.
Yeah, and it used to be a far bigger community. I don't know what the situation is in Holland at the minute, but that used to be an enormous community in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And the Dutch Open would get 80 or 90 people. I'll never forget, going to the first Dutch Open, there were people from all over the place. It was an enormous event. And then I heard it moved from Amsterdam to Utrecht, and it went down to maybe 30 people. And I think the Amsterdam, not just Amsterdam, the Dutch community has grown old. I do wonder how much new blood we're getting in, whether we're not all just getting old. And the old timers are, we've all got kids now, and 10, 15 years ago, it was much easier to jot off to Amsterdam for a weekend or dip over to wherever. These days, not so much. But we don't have that crossover anymore.
Yeah.
As far as much, anyway. There are still guys like Lycos who'll travel to anywhere.
Yeah.
And there's still the big one. The NAF, obviously. But did we have any Spaniards at the NAF this year? I didn't make it over.
I think there were a few Spanish guys. A big five or six French, a few Germans, fairly big Italian contingent. But it's a World Cup year, so that'll be bigger next year, I think.
And the very fact that we all went insane 4 years ago when we had 440 in Amsterdam, and this year in Luca, wherever, you think, 900, I heard.
Yeah, are you going to that?
I'm fortunately not, no. I'm going to Gen Con for 6 weeks, I think it is.
Okay.
And that's cost rather a lot of money, and it's eaten up a lot of my time, but... If I don't go to... I started going to Gen Con. If I don't go to Gen Con, I start getting withdrawal symptoms.
Fair enough. Well, I think you will be my main audience for any media stuff that I'm doing during the World Cup, then.
Yeah, because just what everyone else is going to do.
Certainly lots of people will.
I went to Italy once, and it was lovely. But we didn't leave the hotel for Euro Bowl 2009, I think.
Oh, right, yeah.
You should ask Pippi about their idea of vegetarian food.
It's a strange thing.
Mozzarella and chips they gave him.
That sounds quite nice for one meal.
He wasn't impressed.
Oh dear.
I'm sure the Italians are putting a great show. I'm not entirely sure who's behind it, but the Italian guys I know are very solid guys. Beppe is a great guy. I think he's involved down there?
He is involved, yeah, absolutely. Well, he's an AF president, and then they got Andrea Parella as the...
He is, isn't he? Yes.
...main guy.
So, I completely forgot that Beppe was the president.
Easily done.
I've been kind of out of the loop for a little while, unfortunately. I try and keep up, but I've been around so long now, I'm feeling very jaded and old. And I've had X-Wing miniatures occupying my every waking moment.
Yeah, that does seem to be quite prevalent, I think.
Have you tried it?
No, I only once or twice, but not in a big way, in the same way that other people have.
If you see that there's a little cartoon on the online somewhere of a father and son playing X-Wing miniatures on the carpet, and the mum walks by and says, "What's that?" "Oh, it's the X-Wing miniatures corset." "Corset? That sounds dangerous." "Oh, never mind, it's just a casual game." And the next picture they've got... dozens and dozens of ships. The little boy dressed up as an ex-pilot. The father just looks up at the watch and thinks, "Mistakes were made."
Yeah, absolutely.
Marvellous. I've got a huge case for the figures.
You could say the same for my Blood Bowl ridiculous collection.
I have a cabinet full of miniatures. I have 5 dwarf teams, Mike.
That's... no one needs that.
One Impact one. I've got a second edition one. I've got a third edition one. And that's just the ones that are painted. I've got at least 3 Norse teams.
Excellent.
What's wrong with us, Mike?
Enjoy the game. It's fun.
It's an illness. Pretty shiny miniatures. And the collector's instinct, "Oh, look, second edition miniatures. Must have them."
Absolutely. Right, thank you very much for the chat.
You're welcome, sir. Always a pleasure.
Yep. And I will catch up with you soon, I expect.
At some point, yes. I'm sure I'll manage to make it over to Britain at some stage.
You should.
Don't know when. We'll see.
All right.
Okay, mate. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to contact the NAFcast, you can do so via Twitter on @officialnaf, or via Facebook page, Official NAF, or on officialnaf@gmail.com. Any opinions expressed are those of Sano638, the NAF media officer, which is me, rather than the NAF committee as a whole. See you next week. Bye.